WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and Sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. All right, here we go. Hi, everyone. This is North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore on this Friday as we get ready for the weekend. And got a bunch of news stories to tell you about. Our guest today, we're going to play our interview we did with the Beverly Athletic Director James Coffey in this program today. So we got all that coming up. And we got a bunch of stories to tell you about and things to tell you about the website coming up in the days ahead. So, Rick, welcome.
Hi, Bill. Another day in paradise. You know, I'm looking outside and looking at this gray weather, and I told my wife this morning, I said, it's beautiful, beautiful late November morning. But it's going to get better, and we'll have to check the schedules, but a lot of game. I'm surprised at how tough the lacrosse kids are. They were out there yesterday. No one else was, but they were.
No, absolutely. Actually, you know, there were a few baseball games yesterday, but on our baseball post, we do have a few scores. I was surprised at that. A couple of Cape Ann League teams played, but and some stopped. Now, you know, speaking of the weather, the Marblehead baseball team went down to Boston Latin yesterday. No, not Boston Latin, but one of the Boston schools down in Jamaica Plain. I thought it was Boston English. Okay, it's Boston English. I thought it might have been a mistake on the schedule that I was looking at, thinking, oh, it's probably Lynn English. But it was Boston English. They go all the way down on the bus. They go out on the field. I think it's a turf field. But then it really starts to rain. It's windy. And as you know, like the wind chill was under 40 degrees yesterday. And they stopped the game after an inning and headed back home. So they did not play that game.
So. Yeah, it's just miserable right now. But, you know, this will probably push our sports season another week later into June. But I guess we're kind of used to that. And, you know. It is what it is. It'll get better.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to get better next week and so on. So that's what we've got on the program today. If you look at our webpage today, we do have a video from the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon when Donald Trump calls President Obama after winning this week's Indiana primary. So we've got that video up there. Also on our webpage, down at the bottom of our webpage, we have the data. Several police departments released the data on their prescription drug collections that they held in the last couple of weeks. They had those days that we were talking about, and we posted some information on our website. They do have the data. They're from Saugus and Rockport, I think the two police departments that reported. And we do have that information posted on our website. It's down below on this post here, but it's right here today if you want to take a look at that. So those are some of the things we have on our website. And let's see here. I guess what you want to start with a news story up in the Cape Ann area, Rick?
Well, I'm not sure it's a news story, but there are a couple of articles in the paper on the front page of the Times by Ray Lamont involving Gloucester Chief Leonard Campanello, again, the police chief. He was recently given an award by the Anti-Defamation League, the Boston-based Anti-Defamation League. This award was given in Salem. And he accepted the North Shore Community Award on behalf of the police department. But the interesting thing was there, he brought a couple of people who had been in the Angel program and have been or are recovering, one of whom is a woman named Kylie Moriarty, who, quote, died three times on the way to the hospital, unquote. And this was after a relapse. She was actually put into the program in June last year when it first started, did pretty well. Had a relapse, and then has been doing great since then. She's working, and she was giving a standing ovation by the people in the ADL for her recovery efforts. But it's also tied into an article, I think a couple of days ago, we talked about the statistics that were given in terms of heroin deaths from 2014 to 2015. And also mentioned how Chief Campanella was surprised, as I was, that the stat went from five deaths in 2014 to 10 deaths in Gloucester in 2015. But, you know, those stats are incomplete, and it doesn't mean that the program is failing. And as the chief mentioned, again, over 400 people have been treated. And people come not just from Gloucester. They're coming from all around into Gloucester to get help. So it highlights, again, the insidiousness of what's going on right now with the opioid problem. And, you know, it's everybody's aware of it now. And again, I'm curious to see how this thing is going to play out over the years. But so far, so good. Good stuff coming out of the Angel program. And the other thing, Bill, is one other, actually a couple of other quick articles. One, the scallopers fishing trade group that represents scallopers from Maine to Virginia has joined Northeast ground fishermen in opposing the designation of any marine national monuments in New England waters. And there is a push on, I'm going to talk more with some other people about this, seems to be a push on to change all of the fishing area off of Gloucester, off of Massachusetts and New Hampshire and Maine into sort of like a giant fish farm for the government. So, and I know I'm not saying it correctly, but it sure looks like more and more that the government is trying to drive the individual fishermen out of business. And so scallopers are taking a stand against that. And then finally, Bill, voting going on in Essex. The town election in Essex is Monday, May 9. All registered town voters may cast ballots at the Memorial Fire Station, 24 Martin Street in Essex, from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And that is in Essex. Of course, the headline says eight candidates running uncontested in Essex. And there's a single ballot question also in Essex. But anyway, town election in Essex, Monday, May 9.
All right, I got a couple of things here. I want to follow up on the ADL story that you were reading about. The item has their take on it, the Daily Item, as Maria Arias, this is from Thor Jorgensen, their item news editor, choked back tears as she described why peer mediator Ginny Keenan deserved to be honored by the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, the same event you were talking about, Rick. But before I knew you, I didn't have a place where I thought I belonged, the Lynn English High School senior said. You helped me find myself. So that was the event at the Kernwood Country Club yesterday. A couple of other things. So a number of people honored at that. Also, there's a story here on the front page of the item. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's on the front page of the Salem News, my mistake. And this is from Marblehead. And this one is saying that it's two students speaking out against anti-Semitism. These two students were honored by ADL as well. And it's a principal voiced by Irish statesman Edmund Burke more than 200 years ago. This is an Alan Burke story. The only thing necessary for triumph of evil is good men to do nothing. That goes for good students. Last December, when Marblehead High School sophomores Avery Kaplovich and Olivia Scour spotted a Snapchat image of pennies arranged in the shape of a swastika, one clearly taken at their school, that they might have turned away and tried to ignore it. But anyways, obviously the actions that they took and so on. We also, Rick, had that incident in, I believe it was Georgetown, right? It was Georgetown, where the swastika was found on the football field in the past last 10 days or so. We had that story here on the website. So this stuff, unfortunately, is still around, still out there. And the congratulations to the Anti-Defamation League for the work that they do and for bringing this to our attention.
Absolutely, and in so many other ways, too. And it's interesting, I saw that article on the kids. One of the kids was quoted as saying, the kid from Marblehead, we feared we would be blamed and considered school snitches. There is a culture now, I know, at Gloucester High School, and I'm guessing it's probably the same in other schools, including Marblehead, where kids aren't being considered snitches and rats or anything like that anymore. Or tattletales. They're actually being considered as whistleblowers. And the difference is, of course, is that, the snitch is, hey, he stole a cookie, you go tell your mom. But the whistleblower is someone who says, okay, this person is doing something that can harm people. And so congratulations to those two Marblehead students, absolutely, and blowing the whistle on that that thing. There's no room for that in our community, Bill.
No, not at all. The day yesterday, by the way, Thursday started out in the early morning commute with a bus accident in the Ted Williams Tunnel, not the Ted Williams Tunnel, the O'Neill Tunnel on the 93 Tunnel. Where this was in the, I believe it was the southbound lane, a man from Saugus, actually. This is why there were two bus stories, and they have North Shore implications yesterday, school bus stories, where this driver from Saugus, and it's the video's on TV if you haven't seen it, but he rear-ends a bus coming in from the angle from the behind the bus and spins the bus around, basically, and blocks pretty much the entire O'Neill Tunnel. And that was a traffic nightmare yesterday in Boston. And then in the afternoon yesterday, as kids were going home from school in Salem, a Salem High School school bus was hit by a car driven by, I believe it was a Beverly man. I don't think they mentioned his name in today's Salem News, but it involved kids from the Bowditch School. There were some injuries, but they were taken to the hospital. One adult was injured, hopefully, or two adults might have been injured, but hopefully everyone's okay there in that incident, and it was a minor incident. It looks like minor damage and so on the bus. So you know, that's a couple of bus accidents to report from yesterday.
Do you see that? I think it's a 60 Minutes piece. It might have been something else on school buses and how people even when the school bus lights are on, people drive around the buses, and the near misses that they have on video of little kids, it is the scariest thing I've ever seen. People are nuts trying to pass these buses and picking off these little kids. I know when my daughter was coming home from school, when she was in elementary school, and the bus was coming down the street, I actually would go out and stand in the middle of the street, the passing lane. I'd actually go out there and stand there like an idiot. But, you know, it seemed to work as you, you know, with the bus's lights are on. But
well, you speak to the fact that it worked, apparently, because you're still able to speak.
Well, the idea was if they're going to hit somebody, they're going to hit me. The kids aren't going to come out there. And it was every time I see that, it just freaks me out. And I get scared every time I'm the first one to pull up to, you know, when you see the blinking lights, whether it's behind a bus or it's on the other side. I'm always afraid someone's going to try to pass me. So I don't know. People sometimes can be really idiots.
And you know the thing, Rick, about this is it's so ridiculous that even happens, because you can see a school bus. I mean, you can whatever direction you're in, Rick, you can see the school bus. And when they put their flashing lights on, you can see it even better. You know, I get the fact that you could be driving, you know, on a street. You could be on Highland Avenue in Salem, driving down the street, and you're watching the cars on the lane to your left or the lane to your right. And an ambulance was coming up, and if it doesn't have its siren on, yeah, I could see how you could miss it, kind of. I mean, that's a mistake, you know. Hopefully they shoot their siren off, and you are checking your mirror constantly and so on, and you see it coming up, and you pull over. But, you know, whatever, you know. You know, it's funny, Rick, here's a discussion, actually, my wife and I had the other day. So if you're on a road, I'm trying to think of a road to describe. Let's say it's like Linfield Street, or maybe not Linfield Street in Lynn, or let's say it is Highland Avenue, and it's a little bit busy. Now, an ambulance comes up behind. Do you pull over and stop if it's not all that crowded, or do you still kind of creep along? Do you have a – what do you do?
Yeah, it's whatever – pretty much whatever the traffic is doing. On a small road, you try to you may have to stop. If you got to pull up onto the curb, you got to stop.
Yeah.
But if there's two lanes, or there's like a bike lane or something, you can cruise over there. I remember talking to a firefighter one time who said, you know, coming from the other direction, you don't have to pull over. People do. I do. But if you see an emergency vehicle coming from the other direction, you know, unless people are pulling into your lane, I guess you're not required by law. But don't quote me on that.
Yeah. I don't know if I would go with that advice, Rick. But yeah,
I remember that's what he said, but it surprised me. And I err on the side of caution. I try to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, you can continue. If you're going in the opposite direction, continue to drive, continue to text and talk on your cell phone. That's not a problem. Just keep going.
And smoke and, fix your hair. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Continue that. eat that sub sandwich and no problem. You know, but the point was I was bringing up is I would tend, you know, again, I try to read the situation. There are times when you pull over and you stop because the road's narrow or something like that, and you don't want the ambulance driver to be in any doubt that what you're going to do. And if he sees you pull over, stop, he knows you're going to wait till he goes by or she goes by. But on the other hand, if the traffic is really bad, I've been in traffic jams where the road, you know, you can't get by, the roads are jammed, you're not moving, the ambulance is coming up from behind. Or a similar situation that I might continue to creep if I can, because that allows the cars behind me to pull over. You know what I'm saying? To move ahead and pull over.
Right.
Otherwise, they can't pull over. So I don't think there's any set rule on that. So what you said earlier is probably right on the money that, you know, just play it by ear, but just get out of their way.
Yeah, a hard part, like if you're on 128, or I've been on Route 3 when you've got, you know, it's just bumper to bumper, all lanes, and even the breakdown lane. And then you hear this emergency vehicle coming, and you see in the rearview mirror that people are parting in the middle lanes. They're just sort of parting like the Red Sea. Then you do the same thing. Yeah, you sort of have to read it. I don't think there's any hard and set pattern. But yeah, for God's sakes, try to get the hell out of the way no matter what.
And, you know, now that we're talking about this, you know what bothers me? It shouldn't bother me too much, but it does, is the guy, the wise guy that is 10 cars behind, and when everyone pulls over and more or less stops, You know, to honor that and to honor and respect the emergency vehicle, this guy shoots up and passes 10 cars, and then he or she then follows the ambulance at the speed that the ambulance is going on, thinking that, you know, this is a break for me. You know, like, you know, I'm going to get to where I need to go, and I'm going to use this ambulance as an advantage to me. You know, it's just, I don't know why that just kind of bothers me. It probably bothers everybody, to be honest with you.
Oh, I got a million of them, but we'll save those for another day.
All right, one last story from the Salem News today. We've talked a little bit about this, but this is from Ariana McNeil in the Salem News. Front page story again. The Franco-American Club will be losing from Beverly its liquor license for 2 days in June due to an illegal gambling. The State Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission has decided the club's license is suspended for a total of 5 days, must be served on Wednesday. That's great. On Wednesday and Thursday, June 29th and 30th. So they're putting this in the paper. So if you're headed to the Franco-American Club, I wonder if you can BYOB June 29th and 30th. Other 3 days are suspended for 2 years as long as the club commits no further violations. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There are other clubs in that thing as well. So, all right, those are some of the news stories making news today. I want to go back, Rick, and just talk a little bit about you. You've talked a lot about the Angel program from Gloucester. We have talked about the opioid issue with a number of different guests, in particular our state reps that we have talked to on the program. We have a post up there now on the website. It's with four doctors from Lynn Community Health. It's part one of a series of reports that we have with them. And basically it takes you inside how they deal with this issue. And they have always, well, I shouldn't say always, they are on the health end of it. So they have aligned up with the Angel program and others, treating this as a medical problem. And as you know, we had been treating it as a policing or a legal problem. So anyways, they have some good insight. Again, it's just part one of a multi-part series. I think it's about a 15-minute feature or so. But that is up on our website. Four great, really dedicated doctors from Lynn Community Health. Of course, the opioid issue is just one of the issues that they deal with there. But it is a big issue that they deal with at Lynn Community Health. So we do have that up on our website as well coming up today. And you can click back and find it from whenever. And I think the second edition will probably go up first thing next week.
I think it's great. The more people we can get involved and the more that we can do, I think, Bill, even on the periphery, gets people's eyes open. And I think everybody in the area, Chief Campanello mentioned last year, wanted to change the conversation, and it has been changed. And, you know, so many people now are aware of looking at it differently. So it's great. And I can't wait to get even more information and keep talking to people about this.
You know, I got it. This is kind of a little unusual comment that I'm going to make, Rick. We're going to stop our news discussion right now. And the other day I was out walking. We've had so much rain, you know, that we've had. But the sure sign of spring is when you have a rain, you have worms out on the pavement. Have you noticed that? You know how the worms are on the grass, and then when it rains, they get flooded out into the pavement. So. I'm just thinking, these worms. That now, unfortunately for these worms, is they roll out from the rain onto the pavement, and they basically pass out. This is how I see it, because they try to dig their way back into the ground, and they can't do it because it's pavement, and the worms just don't know that. I think people, if they see a worm after a rainstorm out on the pavement, probably should pick it up and put it back into the dirt next to the pavement or out under the grass, something like that. Save a worm. You know, worms are valuable for our soil. And I just think, you know, it's an issue that a lot of people are not talking about.
No,
that's true. I'm walking the streets and I'm seeing all these worm carcasses out there. And, you know, with this rain, some of them have been out there for days, so there's no chance for them. So, you know, moving forward, maybe it's something that we can do to just make this world a little bit better. Just think of those worms that, you know, are out on the pavement after these rainstorms and are just struggling to get back. And I think their sense of direction isn't – maybe they have a good sense of direction, but I have a feeling that their systems that they have kind of go haywire when they're on pavement. They just can't – you know what I'm saying? Maybe they only have an up and down sensing system.
I've never heard of worms passing out before, Bill.
No, but I think that's what happens to them.
And I got to tell you, in the time I've known you, you haven't left me dumbfounded very often, but this is one of those times.
Really?
Okay, so you've heightened my awareness.
No, now, when you're out there running today, Rick, because you're running, if I'm walking and you're running, these worms are a blur to you. You just got, you know, it's like, you know, they're just a part of life. I mean, it's like the houses you breeze by while you're running, the trees you breeze by. Stop and think about the worm that is out on the pavement. Again, you only see them after these rainstorms, and we certainly have a lot of rainstorms in the last few weeks.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. I think people are – I think you folks are with me on this one. But, I mean, I understand not everyone is up to taking a worm and putting it back onto the lawn next to the pavement. I get that. But
we'll have to get some stats and see if the speed has changed anything.
It's a step in the right direction, right.
There you go.
So next time – so now when you're – you know, after this program, I can imagine people – let's say they're driving through Beverly after a rainstorm and they see somebody out in the street and they lean over, grow down to the pavement, reach down – pluck something off the pavement and then kind of toss it into the grass next to the roadway. That's what they're doing because they listen to this program. Because I've never seen anyone do it before. I never have. So this would be, if we can start this, I mean, it'll show the power of North Shore today. That's all I can
say.
There
you go. There you go.
All right.
We'll get some analytics on it.
All right. We got some James Coffey coming up here, the Beverly Athletic Director and so on. So hang in there with us right here on North Shore today. This is Bill Newell with Rick Moore, and we're joined by James Coffey, athletic director at Beverly High School, outgoing athletic director at Beverly High School. At the end of the school year, he's headed up to Falmouth, Maine, to assume a similar job in Falmouth, Maine. But, James, let's just talk. Let's begin with the nuts and bolts of what's happening in spring sports here at Beverly. And first and foremost, I guess boys lacrosse undefeated at this point, and a big win Tuesday night against Peabody on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Boys are off to an 11-0 start, which is fantastic, and I think they might be the only undefeated team still out there. So they're off to a great start. Coach Pinchon does an unbelievable job with that team, and he does a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you probably, you know, with leadership and things like that, and he's really got them moving, and they're really believing. Their goal is to win a state championship, and they're making no bones about it. That's it. That's their goal. So that's what they're shooting for. And, so we'll see what happens. But everyone's really doing great. All of our teams are likely to make the state tournament. And, baseball's another team that is young right now. They get some good senior leadership, but they're also still kind of young. But that's a team that came, a game away from the state championship last year when they lost to Danvers in the North Final. But I think that's a team that can also make a run, and our tennis team's doing great, girls lacrosse, softball. So it's really been a pretty good spring.
Let me just follow up. You mentioned John's leadership piece with the boys lacrosse team. What, can you elaborate on a little piece on that, what kinds of things, or a couple of things, or one thing that he might be doing in that area?
Sure. I mean each year he kind of brings – John's an avid reader, and he pawns off a lot of books on me after he's done, and I love it. He's a student of that type of thing, of leadership and being a team member, and, just making sure – bottom line, some of the things is just making sure our kids are doing the right thing and being leaders and putting the team first. And he just goes above and beyond what your average high school coach does. He certainly treats us more like a college program. It makes a huge impact. And the thought process our kids go through, it's really matured them. And, don't give him too many of his secrets away, but he does a really great job with that.
James, we're in your office. Bill and I are in your office here, and I remember a long time ago in the old Beverly gym, I think it was Roy Norden who had – then we have to climb a bunch of stairs to get up.
Yeah.
We get up to this little closet that was up there, and you have, dare I say it, a luxurious office here. You've got your own shower and spa and hot tub. No, but it is amazing. But I want to talk a little bit about tradition because coming in here, I'm noticing these gigantic – they look like photographs, but they're actually – huge wall posters, and you were telling us a little bit about a new tradition you started here at Beverly.
Yeah, it's after the girls' soccer team over here won the the North title in 2012, someone gave me this picture of the team, and we kind of just made it this tradition that if you win a North title or better, that we'd put your picture on the wall in the athletic office.
It's about 4 feet by 3 feet, isn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, it's a big big poster there, and so we got that team here and the Super Bowl team and boys lacrosse up there, and then over in the corner we have the year we won the Boston Globe Larry Ames Award for the best overall winning percentage. And it's kind of just been a thing that we've done, and kind of a cool thing. But yes, it's certainly a nice office. I'm going to miss this quite a bit, but it's a great office. Thanks.
Having worked in Winthrop with the tradition there that the Winthrop High School kids have, and now in Beverly, and then moving on to Falmouth, what can you tell me about similarities in kids in high school? Because I think to me that what I've noticed working with Bill around the league for so long, it's the tradition of teachers and coaches who have been in the programs and been in the area moving up. And I've seen coaches work across communities and still care about the kids. But what Roger Day is a great example. Sure. Roger coaching over here and now being a longtime Danvers coach, and of course Coach Bauer going over to Marblehead and so on. There's a lot of that in the whole. But what do you see that's similar with Winthrop, Beverly, and now Falmouth, if there is anything similar?
Yeah, certainly. I think at the end of the day, you know, kids are kids no matter where you are. I think your town kind of, develops maybe a little bit of your attitude. So I think kids are kids, but the area that you grow up in affects a little bit of your attitude. Winthrop was certainly, the kids were a little grittier. Good kids or whatever, but when push came to shove, you know, if they had to dig down and be really tough, that's just kind of who they are. We were always preached as kids that, you know, from Coach Fusillo, who's, you know, I love the man, and he basically, you know, we always played that we were the smallest school going up against these big schools, and it just, that's kind of the way you're raised. And, you know, you live, you're surrounded by Boston and Revere and tough cities, and so it's different now. And then you come up here to Beverly, and kids are different. There's like a maturity and just a really good, I mean, the kids here, we always say, our coaches always say, we're so lucky, our kids are just so good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's never problems at practice. There's never issues. Like, the kids go to practice and they work hard and they don't say anything and they smile and then they go home. And, like, you can't ask for, a better group of kids. So it's just different. I think, yeah, like I said, you know, they're all the same at the end of the day, but I think your the attitude and maybe the edge to you is kind of, you know, determined from where you grow up. But that's about it.
Well, you probably don't know the Falmouth kids yet, but let's just talk about the move heading on up to Falmouth, Maine, and you'll be starting there next school year or over the summer. And tell us about that for your family, the decisions that you guys made, and how that's all playing out. What's the latest updates?
Sure. This is weird talking about this kind of because I remember being in my office in Winthrop like 11 years ago doing the interview. I think you guys just started it back
then, right?
Yeah. And I was a rookie. That was my first interview was with you talking about user fees and how it was affecting sport. It's like crazy. I can't believe it's, you know, anyway. So Falmouth, yeah, it just, my wife and I had always talked about maybe moving up there or getting a summer place up there. We spend a lot of our time in the summer in southern Maine, and it's always kind of just been something in the back of our minds. I wasn't really looking to get out of Beverly, and I really loved this town, this city. And basically what happened was the Falmouth job opened. I asked a friend of mine who works up there who's an AD. I said, what do you know about Falmouth? He said, great program, best school district in the state, pretty affluent community. They care about their sports. It sounded all good. So I put my name in. I went up there and interviewed, and I got an unbelievable sense from that first interview that it was a pretty special place. And I went through the process, went back for a final interview. It was really intense, whole day process. I met pretty much the entire community. And my wife and I, you know, obviously we're talking the whole time, and we just said, let's go for it. And you know, it's different. It's a district that has a lot of resources. They have daycare right at their elementary school. Their campus is one campus where the elementary, middle, high school, superintendent's office, and all of the fields are on one campus. So it's a situation where I can take my son to school, drop him off at the elementary school, and walk 50 feet to my office. And the superintendent, who's there now, who used to work in Saugus, he has four kids, and I think he's got one in the daycare, two in the elementary, and one in middle school. And he just, you know, drives the car up and drops him off and goes across the street. So it's just a little bit different way of life. And, you know, it's a wonderful community. And, you know, it's just family-wise, it was the perfect fit. I'm certainly going to miss Beverly. We love it here. We've made lifelong friends here. I love this school. I couldn't be leaving, you know, with a better feel and, you know, for this city. So
bring us along. No. Yeah. James, you know, as an athletic director, I mean, I don't know whether, you know, I think in the past, you know, different districts set the job up different ways, different responsibilities and so on. But I think, you know, I've watched you, you know, for what, it's been 11 years here in Beverly. Yeah. So 11 years in Beverly and that, you know, how you approach it, it seems to me that, you know, what I would like in an administrator is somebody that supports the coaches. And it seems to me that that is what's happened in Beverly over the years, is that you support them. And whatever you can do in your role, that you're supporting them and let them do their job. Does that sound accurate? And how else would you define the job and so on, an impact that you might have made in Beverly?
Sure. Philosophically, for me, that is exactly kind of what I do. All I want to do is put good coaches in their positions and then really leave them alone to do their job. You know, right or wrong, that's just kind of what I believe. I think right now our coaching staff as a whole, I couldn't be happier with. You know, and so if you put good people in those positions and kind of get out of their way and let them do their job. And, you know, obviously, you know, I have to supervise and evaluate them all. And, you know, we work together and we talk and they communicate well with me. I communicate well with them. And, you know, I just think it works better that way when people are given freedom to kind of just do their thing. You know, coaches have different styles. I mean, they all have different styles and different philosophies. But at the end of the day, all of our coaches here are on the same page in terms of what we're trying to do, and that's support each other. So, you know, if you go to another district, you probably find that the baseball coach and the boys lacrosse coach hate each other. That's like one of those two sports that, like, they don't get along, and that happens. It doesn't happen here. You know, Coach Pinchon and Coach Wilbur coach freshman football together. So they're not sitting there trying to, you know, pull kids and say, don't play baseball, come play lacrosse. Like, that doesn't happen here. So the overall philosophy that we're trying to do here is promote three-sport athletes and let the kids pick the sports that they want and then, you know, work together, support each other. You know, we have a lot of coaches. Brian Seabury is a great example, our girls' hockey coach. He also coaches golf. But, you know, Brian's at every single one of our, you know, our girls on his hockey team and his golfers. He goes to their other games all the time. You know, he comes to baseball games and this and that. So things like that. So I guess, yeah, you know, that's kind of what I do. Let them do their job, and, you know, I think it works that way.
I got to make a comment. I think you're wise beyond your years, because I recently talked with a custodian at a high school who was yelled at by the principal because the fire department came in with new rules. Now, the custodians had a certain way of doing things, and they were trying to do it the same way. The principal saw that, which was out of compliance, and said, no, you can't do that, and yelled at the custodian, and she was in tears. And I remember working for another principal in the same situation where the same type thing happened, and he went to the custodian and said, okay, what can I do to help you make the change? What do you need me to do to make the change? So it sounds like, you know, that's the situation that you have been brought up in and grow in, and a good leader takes care of his people. So congratulations on that, James. I also have to ask the question of a broad question as to the status of the football program. Beverly High School going through some big changes with your leaving and with Coach Bauer leaving. So maybe just a general kind of update for our listeners.
Sure. We have conducted interviews. We've got it down to a couple finalists, and those finalists are interviewing with Mr. Gallagher, and you know, we should have somebody, I would say this week, if not next week, whenever Mr. Gallagher finishes up the whole process. But we will be in good hands regardless, and you know, the program will keep moving forward. There's a really good core of kids that are returning, and not only that, there's strong support here, you know, in the community. We have a great boosters organization that works well, the youth organization. This new coach coming in, you know, we'll have a new AD, and Mr. Gallagher will hire somebody great, and you know, so they'll have a lot of support around them. They get the best principal around. He's still here, and he's the man, so they'll always have him, and whatever it's going to be, Beverly football will be in really good shape moving forward.
James, I want to maybe follow up. One last area I kind of want to touch on is this Northeastern Conference GBL merger that was voted on, say, a week ago, 9-3 vote in favor of it. So four Greater Boston League teams coming in, a four-year trial. Everett not playing football in the Northeastern Conference, I guess. It's still a year away at the earliest, I guess. And I know that there were some other votes years ago. Probably you might have been around for some of those, for other teams and other leagues bringing some teams in. Maybe share a little bit of background with us on that and some of the thinking among the Northeastern Conference ADs. Obviously, this, I guess, gets bumped up to a principal's vote. I get that. But, you know, maybe some thoughts, and maybe even from your thoughts, on what would make some sense. Because I know that I was actually kind of excited a few years ago. I thought, well, you know, GBL plus some Capan League schools, you make a nice league. Somebody has to sort those divisions out and so on. That's beyond me, I guess. But I thought it might be kind of a neat thing, but that didn't happen. But now this is going to happen, apparently. So maybe some thoughts from you, and, you know, whether, and not just reporting what happened, but any other insight that you might have in reaction.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. We, yeah. So I know a couple years ago was I thought the best proposal that we had come up with, and that was that some of the schools wanted the GBL, and a couple of us wanted Masco. Frankly, because Masco is good, they're a good program, and for a school like us, they would be a tough challenge in a lot of sports. And so we tried to, as a league, say, all right, well, let's do this. Some of you guys want the GBL because you think you'd be competitive games. Some of us want Masco for competitive games. Why don't we bring all of them in? And, you know, we can kind of break out into two or three tiers. And we did that. We had everything, like, down to the sport, who's going to play what, and it didn't pass. And then now this time, ironically, we kind of don't have a plan. It was just like, all right, let's look at the GBL again. We don't have brackets. We don't know when officially they're going to come in, and it passed. So it's kind of funny how that happens. So anyway, we will work as a league, as ADs, to kind of make some divisions. I would probably like to see, and I think will eventually happen, is there'll be two divisions, really only for the purpose of qualifying for the state tournament, because you get the first two bids in each league. But I think what will end up happening is everybody will mostly play each other in everything just once. You know what I mean? So it'll be like a 15-game regular season schedule. So I could see that happening, especially in the sports with 20 games, you know, your baseball, softball, basketball. But that's still kind of up in the air. So I guess they're going to transition in with some non-leagues here in the fall and the winter, and probably fully be in the league in the spring. I wish Masco were included in this. I think they would be great for the league. It makes a ton of sense to bring them in. But as of right now, the GBLs are in, and you know, we'll see what happens.
All right, James, I'll give you the final word here. Anything else you want to share with us? You know, as not that you're leaving soon. You still got a couple more months here. Pretty soon, though. I mean, I don't see any boxes in the office here ready to go. But so it's not quite that soon, not imminent. But any other thoughts that you want to just share with us, James?
Sure. Well, I want to thank you guys first. You know, for, like I said, it's kind of when you guys, I knew you were coming today, and I was thinking about it this morning before I came in. Like I said, you know, doing that first interview I ever did 11 years ago in that little office in Winthrop with you, Rick, and been a lot of Monday nights listening to you guys and been on the show a lot. And a lot's happened in 11 years. I mean, it's, you know, it will be my third school, and you know, a lot in my life has happened. You know, obviously moving up here to Beverly, getting married, having a kid, and a million things job-wise that have happened. And so we're excited to move, but I'll tell you, I'm going to really miss the North Shore, and it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. It's always been fun, and I appreciate it. Maybe we can talk again Falmouth.
I was going to say we've grown up. We've seen your family grown up before our eyes. Growing up on Facebook and on Twitter and on the social. So you got to keep us updated with all that stuff. And the feeling is mutual, James, because we did. I did start this business 11 years ago with Tim and Bill and Bill Proposky and. Winthrop opened us with open arms. Coach Fusillo, in fact, our very first visit up there was in the summertime. Tim and I were going by the football stadium, and he was up there putting up windscreens, I believe, in the middle of summer.
Yep.
So it's a mutual appreciation, and we wish you nothing but the best and hope we'll talk with you before you leave. If not, we'll talk to you when we get up there.
Absolutely. That's great. Thanks, guys.
All right, so for Bill Newell, along with Beverly Athletic Director James Coffey, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSO News Sports.
Welcome back to North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell. We're talking some more sports here. Our update here today, yesterday in boys lacrosse, as Rick mentioned at the start of the program, lacrosse was pretty much the only thing happening on the North Shore yesterday because of the rotten weather. But the Beverly lacrosse team beat Marblehead yesterday. They remain undefeated. They're 12-0. We're just talking about that with James Coffey. But congratulations to them, Coach John Pinchon and his team for that. And I'm just peeking at the schedule today, Rick, some of the events going on. Winthrop is going to be taking on Danvers today. I think it might be at a different field, though. It looks like Burley Field at 4:30, according to the schedule in today's Salem News. Lynn English is playing at Salem today. And tonight, Malden Catholic is at Peabody. And I was just looking at a forecast, and there is more rain moving back in for tonight, but good luck with all these teams. Of course, there's a bunch of softball and other games going on this week, and do check out our sports. We've got a bunch of posts up there. Endicott College is still very busy with the spring sports. We've got a bunch of results from them from yesterday. We also have the awards from Salem State's annual awards event that they had this week. We've got all the winners posted on a post there. You can go to that and check that out on our website, and of course we'll be following all the sports news and in the spring sports news in the days ahead. And Rick, I know you got to check out a lacrosse game recently.
Well, I've gone to a couple of Gloucester girls lacrosse games. My daughter is playing in both varsity and junior varsity, as a lot of the kids are, and the girls, they're doing okay in their division, the South. I think they're 3-0, but they're 0-5 outside, and they're getting clobbered outside. So it's been tough, but I admire the spunk of all these kids on all the teams being out there in this weather, and the handful of parents who are in the stands and brave it out. God bless them. It's really something. But the kids love the sport, and they're out there doing it. And you know, they came home last night. The kids were leaving the field. They were frozen. They were drenched. Some of the kids, the girls, couldn't move their hands. It was so cold. But they got a smile on their faces. Obviously, when you win. When you lose, not so much, but, I think the kids, they're tough. Lacrosse kids are tough kids, and track and field has been out there, too. They've been outside.
Yeah. This week I had caught the Manchester-Essex Ipswich boys lacrosse game, in which Ipswich won, and they continue to be undefeated as well. So congratulations to them for the great season that they're having as well. And, of course, we'll be following all the sports all the weekend and next week as well here on MSO News Sports. So that's it for North Shore Today. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.